Text number 28. Jiva Shrestha Ya Jivanam.
Jiva Shrestha Ya Jivanam.
Jiva Shrestha Ya Jivanam.
Jiva Shrestha Ya Jivanam.
Tatrana Vritakshuve. Animals with developed consciousness are better than them.
Animals with developed consciousness are better than them.
And better still are those who have developed sense perception.
And better still are those who have developed sense perception.
Recorded by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. In the previous verse, it was explained that living entities should be honored by charitable gifts and friendly behavior. And in this verse, and in the following verses, the description of different grades of living entities is given, so that one can know when to behave friendly and when to give charity. For example, a tiger is a living entity, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Lord is living in the heart of the tiger as Supersoul. But does this mean that we have to treat the tiger in a friendly manner? Certainly not. We have to treat him differently, giving him charity in the form of prasad. The many sainted persons in the jungles do not treat the tigers in a friendly way, but they give supply of prasad foodstuffs to them. The tigers come, take the food and go away, just as a dog does. According to the Vedic system, a dog is not allowed to enter the house. Because of their uncleanliness, cats and dogs are not allowed within the apartments of gentlemen, but are so trained that they stand outside. The compassionate householder will supply prasad to the dogs and cats who eat outside and then go away. We must treat the lower living entities compassionately, but this does not mean that we have to treat them in the same way we treat other human beings. The feeling of equality must be there, but the treatment should be different or discriminating. Just how discrimination should be maintained is given in the following six verses concerning different grades of living conditions. The first division is made between dead stone-like matter and living organism. A living organism is sometimes manifested even in stone. Experience shows that some hills and mountains grow. This is due to the presence of the soul within the stone. Above that, the next manifestation of the living condition is development of consciousness, and the next manifestation is the development of sense perception. In the Moksha Dham section of the Mahabharata, it is stated that trees have developed sense perception. They can see and smell. We know by experience that trees can see. Sometimes in its growth, a large tree changes its course of development to avoid some hindrance. This means that a tree can see. And according to Mahabharata, a tree can also smell. This indicates the development of sense perception. Om Jnanti Mirandasya Jnanam Jnanti Vakaya Chakshur Manitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurude Namaha Namaha Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasaya Vultane Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Astagavishitarine. So Lord Kapila is speaking to Deva Bhuti, explaining about the process of devotional service. In the previous chapter, he was explaining about the process of Ashtanga Yoga, how one sees the Lord in the heart through meditation and various first day sitting postures, controlling the breathing, and then focusing the mind when it's peaceful on the form from the Lord within the heart. So this particular chapter is now explaining how to practically perform devotional service. In chapter 25, he mentioned that the glories of devotional service. What is devotional service? What constitutes the activities of devotional service in a general term? But this chapter is now going into detail of how a living entity should act, how we should act in our daily activities. So I'd just like to read the first few verses before this one, and it gives us some idea about how to tackle this particular verse. I will read from verse 21, and it gives us a better understanding. I am present in every living entity as Supersoul. If someone neglects or disregards that Supersoul everywhere and engages himself in the worship of the deity in the temple, that is simply imitation. One who worships the deity of Godhead in the temples but does not know that the Supreme Lord as Paramatma is situated in every living entity's heart must be in ignorance and is compared to one who offers oblations into ashes. In other words, his devotional service is not fruitful. There is no fire from ashes. One who offers me respect but is envious of the bodies of others and is therefore a separatist never attains peace of mind because of inimical behaviour towards other living entities. So this is an important point for this verse. Inimical towards other living entities. What to speak of Vaishnavas. So I'd like to read the Bhagavad Gita in this respect. It's a nice section which Prabhupada quotes. Because one who works in Krishna consciousness is a servant to all, he is very dear to everyone. And because everyone is satisfied by his work, he is pure in consciousness. Because he is pure in consciousness, his mind is completely controlled. So that means that he's peaceful. His mind's peaceful. So in other words, Krishna Balaram. So in other words, if we are not treating other living entities properly, that will affect our consciousness. We will not be peaceful. And then he goes on to say, because he's in pure consciousness, his mind is completely controlled. And because his mind is controlled, his senses are also controlled. Because his mind is always fixed on Krishna, there is no chance of being deviated from Krishna. Nor is there a chance that he will engage in sense matters or other service, other than the service of the Lord. So this is an important point because we're wondering about treating all these different living entities. Generally we don't take so much care in that way. But this particular verse is saying if we create any difficulty for anybody else, even mentally, that will affect our consciousness. And if our mind's disturbed, then it's difficult to fix the mind on the goal of life. It's difficult to practice devotional service. So this is what these sections of verses are pertaining to. Because we're talking about last chapter, Ashtanga Yoga, seeing the Supersoul in the heart. This chapter, by working in Krishna consciousness, seeing the Supersoul in the heart. And everywhere else, for that matter. Seeing the individual soul and the Supersoul. Sekshetargyam and Sarvashetashu. Satyagyam is the individual soul. Sarva Satyashu is the Lord in the heart, seeing and witnessing the activities and thoughts of all living entities. So, one more verse here actually, from 34. I'll just read the rest of these verses. My dear mother, even if he worships with proper rituals and paraphernalia, A person who is ignorant of my presence in all living entities never pleases me by the worship of the deities in the temple. We've done that once. Performing his prescribed duties, one should worship the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until one realizes my presence in his own heart and in the hearts of all living entities. As the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entities because of his indifferent or indifferential outlook. And Prabhupada said that actually. He said that the Lord does not even tolerate an ant being harmed. What to speak of anybody else? So what's the result of seeing the Lord everywhere? Such a perfect devotee offers respect to every living entity because he is under the firm conviction that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has entered the body of every living entity as the super soul or controller. So the whole point of this verse is to see the individual soul and the super soul within all living entities. Then we actually become, this is the real Krishna consciousness. Jiva Kalaya Pravishta Bhagavan. In verse that we all know is Vidya Vinaya Sampane Ramani Gavis Hasini Sunicheva Svapakicha Pandita Savadarjana. So that's a really learned person, that's a devotee. Pandita sees the equal vision, the soul, not the body. The soul is not, is important, the body is not of any consequence. So this is our problem. We have to see the soul, not see the individual externally. And what is the qualification for seeing like that? Vidya Vinaya Sampane. Vidya means knowledge. Vinaya means humility. Sampane, complete knowledge. And how do we get this? Bhagavad Gita tells us. 13, 8, 12. Items of knowledge. What's the first item? Anybody know?
Humility.
Amanitvam adambitvam. Before anything happens, humility has to be there. So this process of seeing the soul in all species, naturally we become affectionate. The heart is softened. We don't mistreat. Because Krishna is in the heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam rideshe. Rideshe in the heart. Sarvasya chaham ridisanivishto. Mata spitya smiti jnana opahanam cha. And the Lord is giving us remembrance and forgetfulness. Opahanam, forgetfulness. Smiti, remembrance. So the devotee's focus is to act in such a way that the Lord within the heart purifies us and gives us understanding of how to see the super soul and the individual soul in every living entity. It's dependent on what? Attitude, on our attitude towards devotional service. We can do so many things, we can be so timely with our service, we can do so much service, we can be so regulated. But the ultimate thing is, it's all to no avail unless we are actually developing the proper attitude of approaching Krishna. Then there's in the heart Krishna, what's that verse? Esham satata yuktanam, ajitam pridipurukam, tadadi guri yogam, yenamam. But then he reveals, whether we're intelligent, whether we're learned, Krishna reveals from within the heart. He destroys the darkness of ignorance. Tesham evo anantam. Tamaha jnana tam tamaha. This tamas in the heart. And but if we're of another mentality, Krishna is reciprocating with that. It's not that Krishna's a dictator, we have free will. And Krishna is reciprocating with our attitude. Naham prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samamita modayam navigyanati lokomam ajam avyayam. He covers, he won't reveal. So the development of consciousness is shown in our practical daily activities. And this chapter is explaining how our practical daily activities of relating with other living entities shows our sincerity and will actually purify us. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, there's a nice verse, how to approach the Supreme Lord. This is 13:35. Those who see with the eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the knower of the body can also understand the process of liberation from bondage in material nature and attain to the supreme goal. Very important, seeing the difference between the body and the soul. So what is the biggest sin? What is the biggest sin? It's related to what we've just been saying. All the sins come from this one particular sin.
Ignorance.
Ignorance of what, though?
Seeing the body as the self.
Seeing the body as the self. I am this body. Biggest sin. If we think we're this body, we'll get nothing right. We only get things right when we understand that we're not the body. So, what's that verse? Purusham prakriti stori, bhunti prakriti jangan, karana guna sangha sat sada sat jangan nyonishu. That identifying with the body, we actually transmigrate from one body to another, from one species of life to another, and we experience happiness and distress. In this lifetime, this one particular lifetime as a devotee, if we identify with the body, we'll transmigrate from one situation to another on the mental platform, and we'll experience happiness and distress in this world. Rishpadev said to his sons, Nayam deho deho bhajami loke kastan kamam hardi vidbhajate tapo divyam putakte yena sattam sujyad yasmat kama shokyam tunantam. Therefore we should perform the tapasya of controlling the mind and fixing it on the goal of life, fixing it on the needful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that we don't let the mind give the mind an inch. We don't let it go into the future. We don't let it go into the past. We keep it fixed on the present. And in this way, we can make progress. So, a devotee is not interested in chewing the tube. Matirna Krishna Paratov Svatova Mitovi Padyata Rihavatam Adanta Gopir Vishanam Tamishman. When we let the mind go from the goal, we're simply going over the same things again and again, chewing the chew. So, Prabhupada Maharaj explains to his friends, he's only 5 years old, I understand, at this point. His class friends are only 5 years old, they're interested in playing. And Prabhupada Maharaj says, Sukham Aindrikatam Decha Deha Yogina Dehina Savasa Labdite Daivat Yata Dukam Ayatnatam. So, Sukha and Dukha. We should understand that no matter how much we try, what are we endeavouring for anything for? We're endeavouring to find sense satisfaction, either in spiritual life or material life. That satisfaction is what we're searching for. Without that promise of some satisfaction or relief from suffering, then there's no endeavour. But Prabhupada Maharaj says quite straightforwardly that this is a useless endeavour. There's so much happiness and there's so much distress. You're going to get that anyway. So why endeavouring that? One should focus his mind. Kamam Acharat Prajna Dharmam Bhagavatam Hiya Durabham Manasanjana Tad Aparadruvam Artadam. We should fix our mind even from the age of karma, from the very tender age of childhood, on Krishna. So, so this verse, coming to the verse more directly, is our dealings with one another will relate our consciousness. How to deal properly and how to deal improperly. So in the material world, we see everything done the wrong way around. Just like Prabhupada mentioned in the part about dogs, how we should treat dogs. In the West, they treat dogs like God. Prabhupada said, the dog is the word God the other way around. It's exactly the opposite. But people in the West do that. They even follow the dog about with a piece of plastic on their hand in a paper bag. And when the dog passes stool, they pick the stool up and put it in the waste. Service to dog. This is how things have become. And here it says in this verse that we shouldn't even let the dog in the house. Of course, we can go too far. We can be too... Adidas Thakur. Adidas Thakur showed the other extreme. If you remember the story, he was chanting three likes of holy names every day. And so he retired to a cave in the side of a hill. And in the back of that cave was a very venomous serpent. But because he was actually off the bodily platform, he just didn't take any notice. But everybody else who wanted to see him wouldn't go in the cave. So Haridas Thakur thought, okay, let me not cause any more problems for this snake. Let me leave, and also other people can take darshan. And at that point, the snake slithered out of the cave. So he understood this point, Rideshe, that the Supreme Lord is in the heart. He's in the heart of the snake, and he's in the heart of the individual. So he wasn't fearful of that situation. I know one devotee, similar situation, well, not quite. He was, every time he comes to Vrindavan, first thing he does, he goes to the Yamuna, Kesha Garden, and takes bath. And this particular time he took bath, and he caught a rickshaw. And the rickshaw driver was very animated, trying to attract his attention. And when he eventually got his attention, he pointed to a few yards long the steps at Kesha Garden, and there was a big black snake. And so this person, he became a little frantic. He tried to get out once, he was so much in a hurry to get out, he fell back in. And then he eventually got out, and he scrambled up the stairs. And then he heard somebody slapping his thigh and laughing like anything. And he turned around with his saddle, sat just a few feet away from the snake. And he was going like this, you are flapping for nothing. And this devotee actually got the message, and he realized that. I say no harm can come to me if I realise that the super soul is within everything. If we actually realise that. But the reality is that we don't put ourselves into difficult situations unnecessarily. This is the purport of this particular verse. That if there's a tiger, we don't think like Lord Chaitanya, there's a super soul there, and we embrace it. No, we take suitable precaution. So the way we deal is that we see the externals and we act on the externals. Internally, we see the soul. I remember I was walking down this back path one day, a couple of years ago. It was about 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and the power lights went off. And you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And so I was walking and I felt really disturbed that anything could happen. I don't know really where I'm walking. And then all of a sudden I got a really fearful feeling and I just stopped. And then the lights came on. And in front of me was this person on a bike. Somehow or other he was riding his bike in pitch black. And he just stopped a few feet away from me. So I saw that, I said, this is Krishna's mercy. I would have been killed. He just carried on riding, bang, finished. So the super soul is there when we need him. If we're in danger, but we don't put ourselves into difficulty, that's the point. When Prabhupada was in Australia, he visited one school. The school was run by the monks of St. Francis of Assisi. And the monk said to him, the teachers, that St. Francis' philosophy is that sister bird, brother crow, anyway, all living entities are related. And Prabhupada replied, said, this is perfect Vaishnava philosophy. St. Francis used to even approach lepers. He was so convinced about the Lord's presence in their heart. But anyway, and Prabhupada also, he was very soft-hearted in respect. Sometimes we, or personally speaking, we tend to see Prabhupada as being very, very strict, and very together. But he also had a soft side, which some of his close servants revealed to us occasionally. Once Govindadasi was, she served Prabhupada for a few months, and she didn't like slugs. And one day she saw a slug on the path, and she was inching away from it and trying to get it up. And Prabhupada came out and saw her, and with a very compassionate look, he said, why don't you chant to the little poor thing? So this is the way Prabhupada saw. Another time in his quarters, Prabhupada was on his hands and knees, looking at on the carpet, and Shukrakirti, his servant, walked in. And said, Prabhupada, what are you looking for? He said, don't you see? And Shukrakirti went closer. He said, do you see? He said, no, Prabhupada. He said, here, look. And then he saw the spider. He said, this spider was hungry. Give him some prasad. So we see Prabhupada's very merciful side. But the real mercy is Sarva Bhuta Star, seeing the, first of all, seeing the soul within every living entity. Sarva Bhuta Star. So this is the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. There's a nice verse in the Gita. Yomam Pashyati Sarva Tra Sarvam Chayam Pranasati Krishna Pranashami Satyamena Pranasati. One who sees Krishna everywhere situated, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments on this verse. He says that if one actually has that consciousness, he'll never fall down. If one sees Krishna, whether we're supposed to be advanced or we think we're advanced or so many things, if we can remember Krishna all the time within every living entity, then we'll never fall down. So in this section of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada speaks in one part, it's chapter 6, text number 31, the verse after the one I've just mentioned. And Prabhupada explains how that we were talking about in the last chapter, it was Ashtanga Yoga, seeing the super soul in the heart. And in this particular chapter we're talking about a practicing devotee. So Prabhupada said there's no difference. He said the super soul is none other than Krishna. And the devotee who is practicing Krishna consciousness, then he learns to see the super soul in all living entities. But the best way of seeing the super soul in all living entities is to try and give Krishna consciousness. Then automatically we start to see the super soul. I remember Jagannatha Goswami was telling me that a few days ago there was a little monkey he got caught on the electric wires outside the MVT. And was severely burned, and it was, and the chokidors there managed to bring it back to life. They massaged its heart, and it was crawling, and it crawled to his feet and rested his head on his feet, and it looked up at him, and he said, "I could see there was a living entity there. It wasn't an animal, and he could see the thoughts of the living entity. Please help me. I'm suffering." So, when we get realization like that, what does that verse in the Gita? He sees the suffering, by seeing the suffering, by his own perception, by knowing the suffering that oneself goes through, then he can understand the suffering of all other living entities. And therefore, this is the impetus to relieve other living entities of their difficult situation. When Prabhupada was in England in 1969, I think it was, or 70, he went to the house of John Lennon. He was invited. The devotees were staying in John Lennon's house in the countryside manor of Tittenhurst. And Prabhupada spent a few days there. But every morning he would go on the morning walk and he would see the trees. And three trees in particular, he would go up to and he would embrace them. Or he would touch them, actually. And on the last day, before he left, he went up and he embraced these trees. And then, that night, there was a huge thunderstorm. And all these three trees were struck by lightning and killed. So, I don't really know what was happening there, but there was something. Prabhupada was seeing something that most people don't see. Prabhupada was seeing beyond the body. But what do we do now? In England, I don't know about the other parts of the world, if there's a boundary line, even if there's a big oak tree in the way, they just chop it into it. All they have to do is just bend the boundary 3 feet and take the fence round the tree. What's hurt, so we see the opposite of not developing this mentality. Become completely hard-hearted. So, so Isavashamidam Sarvam Yakincha Jagatyamtya Tena Chakchena Bunta Magridaha Kashyasvittana. This is the Isavashya principle. I've seen what is actually belongs to us, how we need to use it, is quoted in the Ishupanishads. That we don't misuse anything. Everything is the property of the Supreme Lord and it has to be used and treated in a proper way. And even if we're not so expert at dealing with other living entities, what's the cure? There's not one nice verse in the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Manchatas tantrachas chidyam sarva karoti nischidam anum sankitam deha kala vastupa sarva karoti nischidam anum sankitanam tava. So this means that even though there may be so faults in our devotional service, so many faults, if we're actually chanting the holy name, performing sankirtan, then everything is actually rectified. We see this, if we're on sankirtan, especially Harinam sankirtan, people's lives change in front of us. I was once on sankirtan, we were going down at one city street in England, and there was a group of punks. I don't know whether you know what punks are. This was 15, 20 years ago. They wear rings here, and leather jackets, long hair. And they were looking completely disheveled and miserable. They got their heads down. And the Harinam party went by, and they picked up, and they followed the party for some while. And they were completely ecstatic. And then they fell away. And I looked back to see them, and they were back in the same position. So this is the power of the holy name. We see that actually this is not just an external body, there's a soul in there. And we can enliven that soul. Same with book distribution. When the book distribution, we equally see the Paramatma there. We see Krishna working in every situation. So this is our saving grace. Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. We're not so expert in this age at doing anything, but if we put our minds to trying to give Krishna consciousness to others through the chanting of the holy name or by distributing Prabhupada's books, then automatically we start to see on a more transcendental platform. We don't see the external so much. We start to see the soul and also the workings of the super soul directing living entities. Comments or questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for
Maybe verse, just you said from 21st verse you read. I think it must be the 23rd verse. Yeah, so this is 28, but he's earlier in the week of the class, yeah. He read some verses. And one of them, I believe, mentioned that one should worship the DP until he sees the super soul in everyone's heart, some kind of statement like this. One should worship the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until one realizes my presence in his own heart and in the heart of other living entities as well. So when you have a verse like this from the Bhagavad Gita, this refers to that one should, because in my life you do something, right? The worship the deity, and after a while the great deity is very offensive. So when a devotee worships the deity and he starts seeing the super soul in everyone. So
he starts thinking what?
When you see the super soul, when a certain advancement, does he continue to worship the deity? Or he becomes a teacher, or like how does it work?
Well, our process is not just to worship the deity. Our process is to preach as well. It's a combination. There's Panchacharya and Bhagavad Gita. So we're not advised just to worship the deity. In previous ages, that was applicable. So I can't really answer your question because it's not part of the process. It is possible because the Bhagavad Gita says so, but if we just do that, it may be okay for some devotees. Some devotees did practice worshipping the deity in their pujari all their lives. But there's still the same mode of giving Krishna consciousness is behind the devotee's inspiration for worshipping the deity. Pujaris also trying to do nice service to enlighten the devotees when they see the deity, so that they can feel inspired to go out on sankirtan. So it's a reciprocal thing that the thing is that even material life, so the more you give, the more you receive. So our process, given by Lord Chaitanya, is to try and give Krishna consciousness. We've been given something very valuable. So we should try and give it to others. And automatically in that giving process, we see Krishna at work. We realize how he's the Paramatma.
Gandhaya Prabhu about the hand-coded tippers. This Prabhu was telling about how Jamanta created in 69. So, in between Prabhupada touching the trees, and then the trees being liberated the next day in a storm, or that night. What happened that night, according to Gandhaya Prabhu, was that John and his wife went to Prabhupada's quarters, and they wanted to know Prabhupada's secret. They were interested in changing the world through music. So Prabhupada just kept saying them, I have no secret. Chant Hare Krishna. That's the only secret. Chant Hare Krishna. So they kept pestering him and badgering him. And finally Prabhupada became disgusted, according to Dhanajaya, who was outside the window in the bushes hiding with beard around Brahmachari, listening to the conversation. And finally Prabhupada says, it is said in the Bible one should not cast one's pearls before swine. Prabhupada got really heavy with him. At which point Lenin's wife blew up and started cursing Prabhupada out. And Prabhupada decided to leave the next day. And there was a big storm. And those trees that Prabhupada touched were imported by Lenin's wife in Japan, Japanese maple trees. And they were liberated. So that was Prabhupada's mercy.
Thank you, Prabhu. Related to that question, Prabhu raised, whether one should continue devotional service, worshiping the deity, Our process of devotional service is just not only the means but also the end. Just like we perform any process of devotional service, even if we are against Krishna, we continue doing it. So, worshipping the deity is the ultimate end also. If we continue worshipping the deity, and if we realize that Krishna is in everybody's heart, that's a great realization. Then we become so much more attached to Krishna and deity and everything.
And one more question. You were asking that question regarding what becomes very much interested in helping other living entities. Is that a shloka in a 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita you are related to, where even if a person is not able to see the super soul in everybody's heart, but understanding that the Lord's spark is in everybody's heart, like Sarva Bhuta Hite Radha, even if he is not able to see, but understanding that the Lord is his super soul in everybody's heart, he becomes becomes concerned about helping others. Sarva Bhuta Hite Radha, he becomes very attached to helping other living entities realizing what he is realizing.
So it says, even if we don't see the super soul, if we try to help others. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah. That's the point where I was saying that thing. Shantarashi Gandhavatam Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai.